Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Faking Movies. We are on episode 6616.
Ooh, so spooky.
What could that mean? What could that possibly mean? I am, as you have guessed, Lee, the asshole, joined, always.
Starting out strong. Yeah.
I'm joined, as always, by the lovable one, Zach. Hey, Zach, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Ooh. That's so kind of you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the other asshole one, Seth. How's it going, Seth?
Hey, I just assumed I'm the mean one, but all right.
It's fair enough, either way. We wanted to start off today just with a quick, again, plug, some more shilling for our social media accounts. We've got our Instagram, faking_movies, and our Twitter account, @fakingmovies. Please subscribe to them for any information about our show. We'll post whenever any new episode goes up. We're also working on a YouTube account right now, so we'll have teasers for episodes that are upcoming, as well as just some short clips of our favorite moments from the show. It's a lot easier to get people who don't listen to the show already to watch a 2-minute video than it is to make them listen to us talk for an hour like we are so want to do. So keep an eye out
for that.
I've
found that to be true my entire life, actually, yeah. I should make more personal videos, I guess.
No, that's...
Hey, be my friend. Click this link.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. This is a weird thing that's happening.
So we're trying to get those up and running. So if you do listen to the show, if you're a fan, please subscribe. Also, I just wanted to point out, we've heard a lot of feedback from episode 11 guest, Eva. She has now moved up in the Faking Movies power rankings to be the third most popular host of the show, ahead of me.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah, I know. I mean, she definitely did it better. So.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately for our listeners, she is far too smart and busy to deal with Seth and Zach all the time, so you're stuck with me.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
I mean, yeah. We'll
I
see
mean, you
we
guys are
do.
Stuck with me, so.
good stuff.
Yeah. Let's jump in. Let's dive in. This week, Zach, I believe you are going to be faking our movie.
I am. Yeah, so this week I'm going to be doing The Thing for big old episode 1666. I fucked it up. I don't know. Whatever you said earlier.
Spooky 16.
We're starting off a spooky one this time. So it's the Thing, starring Kurt Russell, Keith David, Wilford Brimley, and directed again by John Carpenter. I've done both of those, which
yes,
is fun.
That was not on purpose.
So I guess before I get going, just a little behind the curtain here, I was very excited for this one. Like, when we decided we were doing this, I started writing this like 3 weeks ago and forgot entirely that part of our deal is like you get actors and you have to use them, like the specific people. So I wrote this with one character, and it was a female lead, and then you guys gave me actors yesterday, and I was like, yeah, shit.
Well, I mean,
so I've got some bad news on the female lead front, but, you know.
Yeah, no, I could tell, yes, based
on
the
actors. You gotta chase your own bliss, Zach.
Yeah.
So I mean, Kurt Russell sometimes has beautiful hair. Like it is,
he does.
It's luxurious. So.
I guess we
can
give
be
a spoiler.
Both rugged and elegant. Yeah,
he has absolutely gorgeous hair in this movie.
Oh yeah, it's like
super.
It's like an Auburn waterfall, a luxurious Auburn waterfall. But we'll get more to that.
We'll get
later.
There. I'd say okay. This is easily right. Top three Kurt Russell hair per in a movie. So
I mean. Oh, no, that's Swayze. I was thinking Roadhouse. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
some good hair in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, so the characters might be a little shoehorned, but I think it still kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're starting off. Our main character is a high school English teacher, Kurt Russell. Here, notably a wildly ill-fitting role for him, but again, what can you do?
He's a real Mr. Turner type from Boy Meets World.
Yeah, I feel like he's possible.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, like sitting like Mario Lopez sitting on the chair backwards kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that. All right. So he's
Wait,
kind
Mario
of a sad
Lopez
character.
Mario Lopez
though.
Is your touchstone for cool teacher? What the fuck?
No, just for sitting on chairs
Was Mario
backwards.
Lopez actually a teacher at your high school?
Oh, shit, that would have been fantastic. No, sadly, no. So there's a sad backstory here where he can't have kids, or maybe his wife died or something, but he's got this, like, very strong fondness for kids, and he sort of treats them all like his own, and everybody loves him as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So one day...
It's a regular weed Bindlebaum background there. That's a Winesburg, Ohio reference for everyone.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Oh. Podcasting for one person.
The inside jokes are getting further inside. Ah, dear. All right. So one day he notices that the students seem a bit off. No one's really paying attention and or can really answer any of his questions intelligently. And this kind of goes on all week until he's, like, legitimately concerned and he thinks that there's some, like, sickness going around or something. Like, maybe there's a flu or whatever.
Can I make a guess?
Sure.
Is your movie, is the whole, like, concept of your movie that whatever's affecting the children is an allegory for puberty?
Oh, no, but that would have been fun.
Okay, sorry.
They just get dumber because they get horny?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, fairly true to life, though, like, yeah. That's relatable, I suppose.
Yeah, like, all movies are allegories now. All good ones, anyway, or so I've been told.
Sure. Oh, yeah, like,
well,
Transformers.
This might be a bad one, though. Yeah, right. Okay, so he's legit concerned after a while because, yeah, he thinks it's like a flu or something. And so, again, he cares a lot about these kids. So he calls the local hospital to be like, you know, what's the deal? Have you been seeing something? And they say, yeah, like, we've seen a lot of people acting very strangely, but, like, they don't seem to have anything wrong with them. Like, we can't tell what's actually going on. And so this degrades to the point where, like, they can sort of not really talk. Like, their language gets more abstract, and they can't articulate anything. And so they're sort of stuck with this very basic language, and it's becoming more and more obvious that something's wrong with people's cognitive linguistic functions. Wink. And then
finally,
it's only getting
movie
worse.
For Seth.
In an ironic but, like, suitable for the circumstances twist, they call this loss of articulation, which they assume to be some kind of virus, the thing, based on sort of the loss of language.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just reduced to, like, nouns and, like, and everything sort of becomes more vague and it's very hard to understand anyway. So people's other cognitive functions, like their higher thinking, whatever, are still fine. So they're fully aware of everything. They just can't articulate anything. So naturally, this is very irritating, and tensions start to sort of run high. So small skirmishes start to break out at the grocery store and in traffic and sort of usual, potentially high tension places. Things are escalating very quickly. And so they quickly devolve into, like, full on the purge. And suddenly it's just mass panic and, like, snowballing and everybody's going nuts. And so this eventually scales up to sort of the world stage in the scope of the movie, where it seems like world war is imminent because no one can communicate with anybody and they're just all freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
So the reveal here is that this is an alien attack, and these very, very smart aliens recognize that we're more violent than most species, and we are, in a sense, our own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting along as a human race is rather tenuous and seems very contingent on communication and diplomacy rather than some inherent collective like sense of self-preservation, which seems very strange to these aliens. Like, we're all the same species, and yet we all hate each other.
I mean, that's only true in late-stage capitalism, but...
You're right. This is definitely sort of based on current events, perhaps. Yeah.
I mean, we are still roughly 400 years away from the communist utopia, so...
Yeah, well, we'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah. God, hopefully the aliens won't come get us before that.
Yeah. well, not if Kurt Russell has his way. Here's my shoehorning of the other characters. Wilford Brimley is the obvious president, given his general situation.
His face situation. Yeah.
His like face and mustache demeanor.
All presidents do clearly have the diabetes. So.
I mean, he's basically like a modern-day Taft, I think.
I was going to say, pictures of that. He really looks like Taft.
Yeah.
A very underrated president.
I've heard you talk about this before.
I actually agree.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, there's cuts of him trying to do press conferences and, like, calm everybody down, but they obviously aren't going well because he can't, like, articulate anything.
Sure.
And it sort of only adds to the overall chaos because the leadership is degrading and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Keith David, even more forgettable, is a sort of high-up military brass guy and has, like, a similar parallel role. Like, he's supposed to be a leader, but he can't really do anything. So it's, like, going downhill.
It's a shame that so much of this movie is based on... is based on people not being able to articulate, because Keith David has exactly the right voice to play that type of character.
Oh, so true. Yeah. He does, like, his voice commands respect for sure. Yeah. Okay. So the turn happens when somehow Kurt Russell figures out how to bring people together with only good nature. There's like a standoff, and there's a semi truck like speeding through a busy street, and people are again just sort of looting and rioting. And he saves a child from this semi truck, and he, you know, probably gets hurt in the process or something. Something goes wrong. He sacrifices himself in some capacity, but he's not dead. And so these like now zombie like singularly focused people all witness this and have this like shocking realization. When they're like, oh, we're all actually just trying to survive, and we could work together towards this goal rather than against one another. Mm-hmm. And so they sort of, like, very quickly start, like, snapping out of it and, like, kind of trying to help each other. And, like, this sort of ripples through the entire scene and then, like, the city and then sort of all of Earth is the implication. So we've redeemed humanity, but we haven't yet defeated the aliens.
Uh-huh.
So typically
then we get our Mac computers to shoot water at them.
Ah, that's all we needed.
Oh man.
If only.
Oh boy.
Two movies I actually kind of like.
Again, like references for one person.
Yeah.
Oh, those are blockbusters.
Independence Day.
Yeah. Those were blockbusters, well, sure. Right? But
Okay. ID4 was the biggest movie of 96, brother.
It was. It was. And rightfully so.
Yeah. It was a great movie. Yeah.
It sure
Welcome
was.
To Earth.
The sequel, not so much.
Ooh, no, I have lots Squeakle of feelings about that, so and we will discuss it at some point.
Okay.
So, as I understand it, typically to defend an opponent, you have to sort of know what their next move is going to be and then thwart it or, like, stay one step ahead of them, right?
To defeat, so, right? You said defend.
Yeah, to defend against and then defeat, I guess.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. To win, essentially. Uh-huh. So this assumes some level of, like, predictability and, like, a centralized plan where you can, like, tell what they're doing. But because humans can't readily communicate, each individual country sort of effectively acts alone, and the attack is sort of guerrilla-like, where everybody's sort of doing their own weird thing.
And the aliens can't adjust to it.
Right, some, like, coordinated attack, and so the aliens don't really know what they're doing, and they can't make sense of it, and so this random, like, smattering of sub-attacks sort of overtakes them. They eventually retreat, and whatever sort of scourge they've placed on the human race is lifted, and peace is restored to Earth.
Huh.
And that's the big win, thanks to Kurt Russell. One little guy can make such a difference.
Oh, it's got a take-home good-feel message.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, okay. So that's the whole deal.
Yeah, I like that.
That is a very thought-provoking a movie. Like that, I think you could actually make that movie.
So, you know, I didn't want to say it, but I thought the same thing. I was very excited about this one.
So it actually reminded me of a novel called The Flame Alphabet by Ben Marcus. I think it came out.
That's on my list.
Yeah, it came out maybe 2012, I think. But it's essentially like the same thing. People are like losing language and society is devolving because nobody can talk, nobody can write. Yeah, and and like children can still talk, but they like the sound of language makes people go insane. So like adults go insane from the chatter of children. And like there's a lot of Jewish mysticism in it later, but it's like a very similar concept, and I really like that concept. So
cool. Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah, all right. Well, you guys
Do you have the IMDb pulled up, the description?
I do.
Ooh,
marvelous. So, the, two-sentence IMDb.
I noticed that last night, yeah.
a research facility in Antarctica comes across an alien force that can become anything it touches with 100% accuracy. The members must now find out who's human and who's not before it's too late.
Okay. I was immediately going to say you can't trust your friends. That's the whole thing.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Zach, you nailed a lot of the themes of the thing.
Oh, yeah?
Where
they, everybody ending, turns on got, each other kind of deal?
You got the ending. Hope
absolutely.
But, yeah.
Oh, well. Oh, it's a sad ending?
Yeah. I guess.
Okay.
I mean, if you like people to be alive, yeah.
Depends, I guess. Yeah, sure.
So
fair enough.
I wanna lead off with I've always really enjoyed this movie. I rewatched it last night, and this movie is outstanding.
Yeah, it's a real fun movie.
Oh my god, it's like 100 minutes long. It's this tight, atmospheric, like sci-fi movie that has like two sets, and
it's
just
longer than 100 minutes, though, dude.
Is it?
Yeah. No, no, it's 109. You're right. You got me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tight 150. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
It's just, it's really fucking good.
Yeah.
It's suspenseful. Like my only issue is I never really cared about any of the characters.
Oh, yeah, so, like, that seems like a bigger issue.
I didn't care who lived and who died, but I was still like, had there been anybody that I cared about, I would have been worried about their safety.
Well, I think...
Sure.
I guess my interpretation is that's kind of part of the point, is that you don't care about any of the specific characters, because the whole idea is... So, Zach, basically the setup is this... Norwegian outpost is like chasing this dog through Antarctica, and they end up like at the doorstep of the American outpost, and their helicopter gets blown up, and the only guy who survives can't speak English, and he's holding an assault rifle, so they kill him. And the dog ends up on the base, and that's how everything starts. So like this alien force, what I was getting at is the alien force can mimic anything. So I think by making all of the characters kind of interchangeable, that's part of the point. Like, cause we're not supposed to be able to tell who is an alien.
Mm-hmm. Who's acting strangely.
Because they're all acting strangely.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's a movie about, you know, paranoia, and it's, it's really fucking good.
it is a really good movie. So basically, you know, you're just trying to figure out who's who, and they have various litmus tests, mostly fire-based, to see whether or not you're a person.
So that's like Burn the Witch, where you kind of lose either way, or how's that work?
Well, so there's this scene where Kurt Russell has tied everyone up, because he has all the dynamite.
Oh
yeah, and he draws blood from everyone, And his theory is that this is something that actually you brought up, where the alien force in your movie was confused that humanity, even though it's all one species, doesn't band together and protect itself.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
His theory is that all of the alien cells are their own organism that will protect itself.
Ew.
So he gets, like, he has these petri dishes of blood, and he's testing them with heated up copper wire, and that's how they're testing who is an alien and who is not.
Yeah. All right, gotcha. Okay.
The creature effects in this movie are just phenomenal.
I mean, they're they're gross mostly.
is this like early 80s, late 70s,
82?
Okay.
It's 82. There was a remake in 2011, I believe.
It's a prequel.
Oh, is that what it is?
It takes place in the Norwegian base that... Yeah.
Why are we so into terrible prequels that no one wanted in the first place these days? God damn it.
Because it's easier than dope IPs.
Yeah, but you know, millennials are killing the movie industry.
Yeah, it's not that and the movies economy. Cost $17 and there's nothing good to see.
Yeah, it's not that it's all derivative bullshit.
Yeah. Fuck us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're definitely putting Hollywood on blast.
We strive to be original here, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. Our literal mission statement is making up plots for movies that already exist, so we are trying to be original. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Turning over a new leaf each week,
I remember reading about the prequel remake, because I've heard it referred to both ways. Like, it is a literal prequel, but mm-hmm. most of the things are heavily lifted from the original movie. And they actually hired a lot of the same visual effects because it's all practical effects in the original.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Just for the time period. And they had them do all these practical effects, and then they found out when the movie premiered that they just went back and CGI'd them.
Oh really?
Cool. Yeah. And there's all these videos online because the DVD or whatever features have the original effects in them.
Wow.
So
wow.
There's all these comparison videos online, and holy shit, the practical effects look so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Wow. Yeah. What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
So the prequel thing, you're saying, like, as far as remake, but also prequel, it's just like the aliens hit the Norwegian base first.
Yeah.
So it's the exact same plot, but different. Area,
but a slightly different outcome in that people die differently. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do people speak Norwegian?
No, I was reading about it. Every character also speaks English because there are some American scientists at the base.
Why?
Except for the one character who doesn't speak English, who is the character from the beginning of the original movie.
Okay.
With the assault rifle who gets... Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
The one guy. Yeah, all right.
The one guy.
So, do you guys want to hear my list of crazy crap that happened in chronological order through this movie for me?
Hell yeah.
For sure.
Okay, so first up, there's a super cheesy spaceship, and you start out strong with this cheesy spaceship flying in. It's wonderful.
100,000 BC this happens, the spaceship.
Oh yeah, oh, God, wow. the timing and how they discover the timing. Oh, it's so upsetting.
Because
so
the ice flows and whatnot. And yeah.
So the aliens have been dormant for 102,000 years?
Yeah, they've been
kicking around Antarctica.
Frozen, mostly. Oh.
This is another thing I read, deleted scenes from the prequel remake that are, I guess, canon in the Thing film history now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The alien that they encounter throughout both movies is not the alien who was flying the ship. The alien who was flying the ship crashed it to try to kill this parasite that they had picked up somewhere along the way.
What in the fuck? Where does this backstory come from? Why is that necessary at all?
I know. We don't need to know this. Just give me crazy fucking aliens. Like, that's what I want.
Jesus.
Aliens, paranoia, and atmosphere. That's what I want out of this movie.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
So next on my list Kurt Russell was drinking J&B scotch.
Oh yeah.
Sweet and smooth J&B scotch.
Wilford Brimley is also drinking 100 proof Smirnoff.
Yeah, he sure is.
Sure.
It's pretty great.
I only know that because of the color of the label.
If you wanted to highlight the Americanness, like, yeah. I mean, yeah, nailed it.
Yeah. My first question of the movie, why are they dive bombing that wolf?
That gets answered pretty quickly.
Next great thing.
Apparently, if you speak Norwegian, they give away the entire plot in that opening scene.
Yeah. I wasn't even paying attention.
Oh yeah, that's right. You might actually speak Norwegian.
I don't speak Norwegian, but I could probably get by through the Germanic roots enough to figure out some things at least, man.
Man, that's not a very cool move. Like that counts out an entire market right there. Like a bunch of Norwegians walking out of the theater. Like, what's this bullshit?
I don't know what the demo is for Norwegians and John Carpenter movies in the 80s, but you know, we could do some research.
Oh, they loved them up until this one, let me tell you.
The next great thing is the cook is just like this dude that roams through the halls wearing roller skates.
Oh,
cool.
Nas? Well, yeah, he's dope.
It's so cool.
I mean, it's gotta be boring as hell down there.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Well,
I
mean, in bases in Antarctica, like the modern bases, like there's like recreation rooms out the wazoo and lots and lots of condoms.
Dope.
Yeah, there is.
You definitely don't want anybody to get pregnant in Antarctica.
Oh shit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wasn't thinking that, but yeah, good point.
Yeah. So like you're stuck there for at least 6 months because there's no way to fly in or out.
Yep.
In very close quarters with people, and nobody wants to get pregnant.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
And you're bored. So,
and you're bored. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did see that documentary. That was a really good documentary about the people that stay over the winter. Mm-hmm. And then they were talking about, like, when the people come back in the spring, it's, like, very overwhelming, and they have to, like, go and be by themselves a bunch and stuff. Like,
yeah,
it was cool. Yeah.
I actually was also reading at least at the U.S. research base down there, one of the traditions is the first day of winter every year they watch The Thing.
Wonderful.
They have a movie night.
Yeah, it seems good.
That's wonderful. All right, so here's my favorite part of the whole movie. Kurt Russell's hat.
Oh, it's so out of place.
Big, goofy, curled up cowboy hat that he's wearing down there in Antarctica.
The only thing it's missing is an arrow going through it.
Oh, man. It is so messed up. I don't understand it.
And he's the helicopter pilot on base.
Oh, okay. So he's the Maverick. Yeah,
right. Of course. Yeah, he's the helicopter pilot.
I'm taking her up anyway. I don't care about the winds.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. You run into a monster that's clearly filled with raspberry jello or strawberry, but raspberry for me. There's a goofy dog blob monster that's just kind of threatening everybody, which is pretty fun.
Cool.
One of the guys on the research base is like the dog wrangler, and he gets very upset that his dogs are getting murdered by an alien.
Mm-hmm.
So they have dogs because sled dogs? Is that?
Yes.
I can't imagine another reason to have dogs down there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that guy gets shot in the face by Kurt Russell at one point during the movie.
He sure does, and he's not even a monster then.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, that's a coin toss, so yeah. What can you do?
So I had some problems with the way Wilford Brimley and the doctor were chopping open this alien carcass.
Yeah, they were using Brimley as the biologist.
Yeah, and then there's a medical doctor also. So they like brought in an alien carcass that was out in the snow or whatever, and they tell them, do an autopsy. First up, very confusing.
Yeah. They weren't wearing any masks.
They weren't
like
wearing
that.
Masks. They were wearing like the thinnest gloves. I was like,
they learned nothing.
In my notes, I said, I would be wearing much more substantial gloves than that.
Yeah, no, I've seen it in movies. It can go very badly.
Yeah. And even if you don't think it's an alien, like, it's just, wow, this horribly mutated body just got dropped on my thing. Like, I better touch it all up inside and whatnot.
Yeah, good point.
Okay. That is just filled with Jell-O.
Like, you can just see the Jell-O. It's just bursting at the seams. I love when Wilford Brimley
cuts it open and he's like, these internal organs are normal. And he's just pouring
totally normal organs. I can tell by feel.
Oh, yikes. Okay.
One of them touches, like, the inside of the carcass with a like, pencil eraser and then lifts it up to their mouth and puts it in their mouth. And it is the most disgusting thing.
Yeah.
So you're saying awful. He literally thought it was Jell-O.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, they're actually made of food. Yeah.
Yeah.
Norwegian people are full of Jell-O.
My note says, you just touched that thing with that eraser, then put it into your mouth, bro.
Bro, no.
Bro. The eyeliner game in this movie was pretty on point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kurt Russell was wearing eyeliner the whole time, and it was just...
I mean, a lot, 80s, of, like, a lot of the scenes are very, like, dark and moody, so you need to be able to express with your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it makes his eyes pop, what can I say?
It's just practical, you know, mm-hmm. like...
Certainly, yeah.
I mean, and it's not to the degree that, say, Rob Lowe's eyeliner was in St. Elmo's Fire.
If we were doing an awards show based around movies we have watched, that he would win most, like, just best achievement in eye-popping. Like,
that's kind of one of his deals, I guess. Yeah. I buy it.
Do you guys remember there was an old commercial for Jell-O where they would, like, say that it was alive? Like, Jell-O Jigglers? Yes. They're like, it's alive! I pretty much was singing that in my head for, like, half of this movie.
I've never really been a fan of the Jell-O Jigglers, because you gotta put less water in them. They need to be harder.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't
know. They're like halfway to gummy bears. It's a weird texture.
And, Jell-O, prepackaged Jell-O itself, the flavoring is not built around that much water. Like, it tastes terrible when it's a Jiggler.
But you can play with them. I think that was the onus.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, man, there's... Apparently, the aliens can replicate human engrams in their memory, because everybody's just, like, has the same memories and stuff, which is very confusing to me.
Yeah, it was weird to me how they determined that. Just give it a few minutes, and it's going to have the same memories, the same voice, the same... It's like, it's not just... It doesn't just look like them. It's weird.
Well, we don't really know how memories are stored, right? Am I sounding dumb? I don't know.
No, I mean, there's a couple different pathways, and it gets a little screwy, but...
Okay.
If you but they could, like, RAM.
Presumably... Yeah, that's what I've been doing. It's not been effective.
No?
It's a really rough dumps, yeah.
Knuckle is just ripped crunchy to shreds.
Yeah. I should see a doctor. but, like, I can imagine a world in which they, like, scan the brain or something. I don't know. Yeah. But, yeah, that's a fair point.
So I was watching this movie with a couple people, and here's what we said kind of near the end. Other people said, I don't feel like I care about anyone enough to be worried. Then I said, I care about Kurt Russell's hat. And then another person said, I care about his hair and his eyeliner. And then the last person said, I cared about the dogs, but they're dead now, so there's nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Bleak.
The Wilford Brimley monster at the end has some dog bodies coming out of it.
Oh yeah, like, it sure does. Ooh. Yeah, Wilford. It's all a bait and switch, which is pretty. It's like one of the great things about this movie is that anybody you think is doing the right thing is probably evil.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because they lock Wilford Brimley up because they think he's gone nuts, and he's like, we gotta stop this. And then they find out that he tunneled underneath the building he was in and started rebuilding the spaceship. Like, it's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Whoa. Neat. All right.
Yeah.
So is the end? Does everybody die except for Kurt? That seems like the obvious.
Yeah. Place. So Seth, we haven't even brought up the Keith David role, which is like specified badass on the base. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really have a particular job. He's just there.
Yeah.
He's the bouncer.
Kinda, more or less. Yeah.
All right.
he's great. Like he's very menacing. I think he really nails the, I have created a character where you don't know if I'm an alien or not because I already was acting a little strange.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, Seth, if you want to get to the ending real quick.
So like, there are like four of them that they know aren't aliens, and they've decided that they have to, they're like, we're just going to sacrifice ourselves. We can't let this thing get out of here.
Because so, they figure out that the plan, because it shuts down all the power, they figure out that the plan of the alien is to go back into deep freeze because it could survive it.
Mm-hmm.
And wait for the next crew to come in.
Yeah, like a rescue crew. Yeah.
Okay.
But, so they just, like, make improvised firebombs and just destroy the entire base from the inside.
And there's a big fight in the tunnels with this giant Wilford Brimley slash dog slash every other person the parasite has taken over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. It's a lot of explosions, and then only two people make it out, and that's our Kurt Russell and Keith David. And then they sit outside and freeze to death.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the bummer you're talking about. Cool.
Yeah. So I've read some theories online where I guess for the longest time people have been for
Christ. Oh man.
How long were you sitting on that one?
Oh boy.
That wasn't on purpose.
Longest.
You're gonna have to bleep that or we're gonna have to pay the Billy Joel
Uh-oh.
Estate.
Oh, never mind that. Whoops.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Oh gosh. Or
he'll crash his car into our podcast.
Oh, there it is. Totally redeems himself.
Only funny because he's never killed someone. Anyway, there's been this like long running fan theory that either Kurt Russell or Keith David's character is one of the things, like the thing. And recently, there's been some like sides of the argument where it's like, well, if you watch that final scene, the entire time you could see the breath like billowing out of Kurt Russell when he talks. But you don't see any air coming out of Keith David's mouth. And one of the things that they realized is it doesn't breathe the way we breathe.
Oh, okay.
So there's this, I think like the last line of the movie is something along the lines of, we'll just see how futile our paranoia is of each other. Like,
yeah, something along those lines. I don't remember.
So the fan theory that I think has been pretty widely accepted is that Keith David has also, because he was the only one left by himself during the final battle, more or less.
That's true. He just disappeared for a while.
Yeah, has become a thing as well. He's been assimilated.
Yeah.
I mean, in the classic, like, leave a sequel open, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems cool.
It's a very open-ended ending. It's really good. I fucking love this movie.
It is a pretty great movie. So before you said that thing about the Norwegians, or before this prequel alien, other alien crashing the spaceship theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My last thought on the movie was like, it's a damn good thing that alien crashed in Antarctica, because literally anywhere else they would have just been screwed.
Immediately died. Yeah.
Yeah, like the entire planet would just have lost straight up if it had been literally anywhere except for Antarctica and like the Atacama Desert.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a scene in the movie where Wilford Brimley is running like simulations of how long it would take to take over the world.
Really
like,
shitty simulations.
Yeah. Really bad 1982, computer screens.
I don't know. Even for that, it looked like shitty version of Space Invaders with calculations in the background.
I mean, that's what they had. Yeah, what are you gonna do? So was Johnny Carp's did he leave his stink all over this? Was it like very him and with a lot of like synth score and all that goodness?
That's actually pretty interesting, because he didn't score this movie.
No.
Oh.
Okay. The guy who did all of the spaghetti westerns.
Ennio Morricone? I don't know.
Yes. Yeah, that guy. That's it.
Yeah. Well,
he does the score for this movie.
I didn't know that.
It's like, it's non-existent.
Yeah. There's only a couple of times where there's like dramatic music popping up every once and again.
And he actually
is that
got
on purpose?
Because
it's
I don't know. It's really weird. Cause he got nominated for Razzie for worst score, which it wasn't bad.
Yeah, no.
I mean, yeah, some movies are like intentionally silent to build suspense, right? Like,
sure. You know, yeah.
But toss up whether that's what he was going for, of course.
Yeah, but yeah.
I guess Carpenter also didn't use a lot of the music he wrote for the movie. And it got used later in The Hateful Eight, oddly enough.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh. And Carpenter did write some supplemental synth music for it. I read that as well. So
wonderful. He can't help himself, that guy.
He really cannot. I've got a few more thoughts about the movie specifically. Yep. This has got to be, I know we were kind of shitting on the prequel remake from a few years ago for being unoriginal, but this is probably one of the more remade stories in Hollywood, just in general.
How do you mean?
Well, so specifically off the top of my head, this is without doing any research. It's based on I think it's a novella, like a long short story called Who Goes There? And that was written in the 50s. And then that was adapted into a movie called The Thing from Another World.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It doesn't follow the plot of the story 100%, but it's a standard adaptation. Like, it's based on it. Sure. I believe there is a Twilight Zone episode based on this story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then The Thing got made in the 80s, and that was heavily, like, that is, it is a apparently a very faithful adaptation of the original story. And then I know for sure in the 90s there is an X-Files episode also based on that short story. And then, you know, fast forward to a few years ago, there's a prequel remake kind of hybrid thing. So this is a very remade story.
It happened.
And I guess it makes sense, because it's, if you want to do it cheap, you can do it cheap. If you want to do it really expensive, you can do it really expensive. And it's plays on a lot of themes.
It's a really good concept. I enjoy it very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it is. Like, it does tap into the, it's one of those, like, oh god, what if, like, The Matrix, but, like, less corny and dumb. Like, it's one of those, like, oh, what if that is real? Shit, my friends could be, you know, weird aliens or something. Yeah,
sure. Right.
So, yeah.
Also, just feel like I need to bring up what I think is the fucking craziest scene in the movie. Seth, the scene where they think the one guy had a heart attack and the doctor's trying to bring him back with the defibrillators, and his stomach opens up and turns into a giant mouth and bites the arms off the doctor.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, and then his head pops off and starts crawling around the floor.
And grows spider legs and shit.
Oh, man. It is nuts. It is crazy. Straight up crazy town bazonker pants.
That's much wackier than anything I feel like you guys have mentioned yet. That's very
exciting. It doesn't play wacky, though, is the thing.
No,
it plays like
you start standing up and screaming because it's crazy.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Also, I want to mention, like, apparently this movie was, like, very poorly received.
Really?
When it came out. Yeah. Well, it came out 2 weeks after E.T. It came out the same day as Blade Runner. Like,
ooh. Yeesh.
And it sounds like it just got a raw deal in terms
of timing. So it comes out, like, literally at the same time as two sci-fi classics.
Right.
Yeah.
Two far more high budget
Spielberg-y, like,
Spielberg and Ridley Scott. It's like, who do you?
Yeah,
and then
it's tough.
So, and in recent years, it's got somewhat of a reappraisal. So,
I was gonna say, I feel like generally, people do like this movie, right? Like, now,
IMDb, it has an 8.2.
Ooh, shit. Okay. It's not bad.
Which is, yeah, pretty solid.
Which might be Carpenter's highest rated movie on there. I'd have to double check.
But... yeah, and that's out of 286,000 votes.
Ooh, boy. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeesh. All right.
So, that's pretty good, I guess.
Yeah. I mean,
standards. Should we get to ratings?
We should. We should. Yeah. So, Lee, how do you feel about Zax?
I think Zax made me think a lot about a lot of the sci-fi slash horror movies that have been coming out in the last few years. Like, it made me think a little bit of, like, It Follows. Mm-hmm. Made me think of Arrival, and that's like, yes, we're doing a genre, but we're trying to make a commentary on something as opposed to, like, here's a schlocky movie.
Yeah.
I can see that movie getting made right now. I can see it being somewhat financially successful, not the biggest movie of the year, but like...
not if millennials get their way.
Sure, am I right? I mean, come on. I hear they're not buying houses either. with their minimum wage and college degrees.
Or going to Applebee's.
What?
You know what?
I will not stand for these millennials not eating their shitty steaks, like, and their Jack Daniels glaze and whatnot.
Yep, that's the one.
Anyway, every Applebee's should have a shower in it so you can just wash away the shame before you leave.
They just hose you down as you walk out.
I could see Zach's movie coming out, making some money, getting nominated for like some technical awards,
not winning.
This is like, I think this is like a solid like 7.9, like 7.9 kind of movie. Yeah.
Okay.
This movie would get made and it would be successful. Yeah.
So I should quit my job is what you're saying.
Yep.
I need to call Hollywood.
Wait, you guys didn't quit your job
for
yet?
That or? Oh, shit.
Oh no.
We didn't tell him. Ah, nuts.
Oh, they've made a miscalculation.
Maybe next week. Next week.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
So that all being said, Zach, I loved your movie. I thought it was fantastic.
Excellent.
The thing is just so good. Like, I give it a 9. Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. Like,
yeah, no, it sounded pretty dope.
I've said this on this show before. John Carpenter is probably my favorite director. This is maybe my second favorite John Carpenter movie. It's good as it's good as fuck. I'm sorry, Zach, but you didn't beat for me. Yeah.
No, so I get it.
What do you give? What do you give The Thing then?
9. Yeah, I give it a 9.
9, huh?
Solid 9.
Solid. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, what about you, Seth?
I really like Zach's movie. Like I said, it reminded me of The Flame Alphabet. And like, I feel like it's a less racist Flame Alphabet, which is pretty, I mean, Flame Alphabet isn't racist, but there's like issues. There's clearly issues with it, but, so I really like this concept of, you know, how to function when you lose language. And you knew that you were really pandering to your audience.
I mean, this won't come across in the podcast, but Zach like looked at Seth on our chat window. Well,
a lot of winking.
Yeah. So you did quite well in that regard. So I'm going to give this an 8.35.
Ooh,
getting up
that
there.
That is Seth's highest rating, I believe.
That is definitely my highest rating.
Gotta be.
I mean, it was probably good. I'll save it for the end, but
as for The Real Thing, I also quite enjoyed this. It was probably my favorite movie that I've been forced to watch thus far.
Under duress, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil also, but this kind of edges it out because it just has, like, you are kind of riveted through the whole thing. Like, you definitely don't know exactly what's going to happen next. So, I'm also going to give this quite a high rating, and that is an 8.34.
Oh, edged it out. Whew!
Wait, which one was higher? I forget.
Zach's.
Mine.
Oh.
By a hundredth.
By a hundredth.
Oh, boy.
Close. Ooh, I mean, they were very, very close, but...
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are big shoes to fill, I feel good about that.
I quite enjoyed all of these, so...
Fuck.
Solid.
Yeah, Zach, your movie was really fucking good, man. Mm. We need to, like, get a treatment together for this.
TM, 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 TM.
Yep. Uh-huh.
555-5555. Hello, Mr. Hollywood. I've got a story for you.
You're gonna want to listen to this one.
Yeah.
Put down your Hollywood food. I don't know what people eat in Hollywood.
Hey, you know that new movie food? You've been looking for? Well, listen to this.
This is your cousin, Johnny Spielberg. I don't know. I blanked.
Yeah, we can workshop it. It's fine. We got to workshop the pitch before we workshop the
it's
movie.
It's your cousin, Steven Spielbergo.
Whoa! Senor Spielbergo.
Oh, good Simpsons man. Reference. Seth, high five.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we have coming up next time?
Yeah, so to maybe keep this spooky train rolling, I believe next time we're going to have a tag team of Kanan and JG coming in to do The Fly, which is a movie I like quite a bit. So,
I'm assuming the 80s version?
Yeah, not like the 1961 version or whatever it was.
No, yeah, the Bloom. Yeah, we're getting Jeffrey up in here for sure.
Ooh. Wonderful. Ooh.
Jeffrey. Yeah.
Oh, man, he's just going to ooze both sexuality and fluids everywhere.
Yes, that is the two things I remember.
Not to give too much away, but for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So that should be pretty good. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess until next time, Seth did it better.
No, he didn't. Zach
not
did it best.
Not this time. Not this time.
Zach, oh, you guys.
Zach definitely did it best, and so did John Carpenter.
Oh. I'll share the podium. That's good.
Yep.